We're holding on with bays, on with bays, nine lines from the bottom. Line begins for Edna. Good morning, Alamosha.
Good morning, Alexander.
So, your bays on with bays, nine lines from the bottom.
What's that?
We're holding on your bays on with bays, nine lines from the bottom. The line begins for Edna. Okay, so we learned in the Mishnah about machlokas b'shama b'shilo, about whether you're allowed to take challah and matonis to a kohen on Yom Tov, and we discussed in that connection, so the Mishnah had mentioned that in this connection, that you're not allowed to separate truma on Yom Tov. So now the Gemara is going to take up a related point, which is going to then lead into that, about the possibilities of taking truma on Yom Tov. The Gemara tells Ushpizichne de Rav Bar Rav Chanan, the Ushpizichon of Rav Bar Rav Chanan. Now, Ushpizichon can have a couple of different meanings. It can mean the person that he boards by. The Chachamim would often board out of town when they're learning, would board by somebody when they're learning in an out of town yeshiva. So it could mean that, his host. It could mean related to that, an innkeeper that Rav Bar Rav Chanan stays by. It could also mean maybe his landlord. Whatever the case, that person. Havala isuraisa de chardala. He had bundles of mustard. So mustard seeds. I mean, we only find mustard in the store, and you know, when it's already been made into a paste. But the mustard seeds themselves grow inside a pod. So he had bundles of pods like that. And conceivably, the mustard itself could be eaten. The mustard seeds themselves could be eaten raw, the pasture. So maybe you could cook them. I don't know. Whatever. He had bundles, morning, Ellie. He had bundles of mustard on the lay. So he asks his boarder, Rav Bar Rav Chanan, Mahula Faruchi Umecho Minayo B'Yomtev. On Yomtev, would we be allowed to crush the pods and take out the seeds? Now, on the one hand, it's a Melechas Eichel Nefesh, because you're doing a Melacha for food. On the other hand, maybe not. It's something you could have done before Yomtev. There wouldn't be any difference in the flavor, and therefore it would be a Melacha of Dush. So it would be also daraisa or drabanan, depending on the different opinions that we've talked about before. Loi hava biyode, so Rav Bar Rav Chanan didn't know the answer. Also the kamei de Rav, so the ushkizichan came to Rav to ask. Amalei, and Rav told him, yes, merlin melilos mefarchin kitnias biyamdiv. You are allowed to roll melilos. So Rashi describes melilos is, you take wheat, for example, you take wheat kernels, and you roll them around between your fingers in order to get the, now you have wheat and also barley, we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara, comes with a few different shells on it. You have a harder outer shell, which is removed during the threshing process, so that's the malacha of dosh. And then later on, you have a thin inner shell that's more tightly attached to it. So now you're allowed to take the wheat kernels and roll them around between your fingers, and umefarchen kitnius, and similarly, you're allowed to break open the pods of kitnius. The yomtiv, you're allowed to do that on yomtiv. Esve abaya, but abaya says to Rava, what do you mean? We learn in a brisa, hamolo melilus me'erev Shabbos. If a person is making melilus on erev Shabbos, so erev Shabbos already, he went and rolled the wheat between his fingers to soften it. So now the problem is he did that, but now you still have bits of shell that are mixed in with the wheat. So how does he get rid of those to be able to eat the wheat? The next day on Shabbos, what he can do is he can pour them from one hand to the other and blow on them as he's doing that. That would not be the normal way of doing it on weekdays, wouldn't be like that. The normal way on weekdays would be you put it into a keli or something and sift it that way. So on Shabbos, you do it with a shinui. And that shinui involves that you pour it from one hand to the other, and as you're pouring it from one hand to the other, you blow on it, and then there's the shells, which are lighter, blow away, and the wheat kernels are left. You would not be allowed to use for that purpose on Shabbos a konoin, which is, it actually describes as something like a funnel. You put the grains with the shells or the kidneys or whatever with their shells in it, and then you shake it around a little bit, and the heavier things, the kidneys or the wheat kernels, fall through the bottom of the funnel, and the shells stay up on top. So you're not allowed to use that on Shabbos. the loid of tamhui, and not using a tamhui, which is a large plate, where the idea would be you'd shake them around, and again, also the heavier and the lighter things would separate as you're doing that. So that's on Shabbos. And the Braisa continues, Hamolo melilis me'erev yomtiv. If a person is doing melilis on erev yomtiv, then it's a little bit different. On yomtiv itself, l'mochem and apeach al yad ba'ochel, then on yomtiv itself, he's allowed to blow on them a little bit at a time. Al yad means a little bit at a time. Ba'ochel, and then he can eat them. So he can blow on, he doesn't have to do them from hand to hand like he did on Shabbos with that kind of shinui. Afilu b'konen v'afilu b'tamchoi. There he's even allowed to use a konen or a tamchoi. He's even allowed to use a konen or a tamchoi for that purpose on yomtiv. Avaloi b'tavla, but he's not allowed to use a large board because that kind of thing, a board is something you use to make a large amount of it at a time. And then it looks like he's doing it for preparing for after yomtiv. Veloiba nafa, or with a sieve, veloiba kvara, or with a sifter. So the implication is, the point is, Abaya says, that you see from this braisa, me'erev yomtiv ein v'yomtiv loy. It sounds like you're only allowed to make, you're only allowed to do the first step of it, the melilos, the crushing them, the rolling them between your fingers to soften them up and break open that last shell. It sounds from the braisa, you're only allowed to do that on erev yomtiv, not on yomtiv. So what are you telling? So Rava, what are you telling this guy that he's allowed to do that with these pods of the with the mustard pods? The answer is no. The answer is afilu tamei b'yomtiv. No, you could say that it means you're even allowed to do the actual moilo process on yomtiv itself. But Aydin tana reisha me'erev Shabbos tana sefer nami me'erev yomtiv. Since the reisha of the braisa talks about doing it on erev Shabbos, then it continues talking about what happens on erev yomtiv. But really, it's not to imply that you wouldn't be allowed to do it on yomtiv itself. There is a machlokas rishonim in this, based on this gemara, and there's a parallel gemara in Shabbos that also discusses the whole matter of making melilos. Is it that on Shabbos is it that in the end on Shabbos you're not allowed to do the melilos at all, and on yomtiv you have to do it with a shinui, or is it that on Shabbos you can do it with a shinui and yomtiv you're allowed to do it without a shinui? The Alter Rebbe brings both opinions. And he says it's better to be machmir like the first one. So even on yomtiv, do it with a shinui. Okay. So now. From our Gemara is mashmer that there's no problem doing it on yomtiv. You just the melila itself, you don't have to do it with a shinui at all. Just you have to do afterward when it comes to the burr process. You have to make even that you're allowed to do it the normal way. You just need you just can't do it using a keli that would be the kind of thing that you use for large quantities at a time. But again, you have a Gemara in Shabbos that bears on this. The Alter Rebbe points out also in Shulchan Aruch and in the Kuntres Acharon over there that what it is depending on what you hold based on the Gemara and Shabbos is going to affect what it is on Yom Tov. The Alter Rebbe understands that those are interdependent. If you say that on Shabbos it requires a shinui, automatically that's going to mean on Yom Tov it doesn't. And if you say on Shabbos it's also, automatically that's going to mean on Yom Tov you need with a shinui. As far as this melilos, as far as when you're taking you're taking wheat grains or kidneys or whatever and rolling them between your fingers to soften them up and break off the inner shell. So we're talking about whether you can do it on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. So you have two different understandings among the Rishonim. Not really exact opposite. One says, well, I guess maybe, I don't know. One opinion among Rishonim is it's also on Shabbos and mutter on Yom Tov only with a shinui, and the other is it's mutter on Shabbos with a shinui and completely mutter on Yom Tov.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Okay.
In many occasions, when you can do a malacha to prepare the food before Shabbos and before Yom Tov, it's recommended, and we discussed that in many Gemaras. Why here we accept to do it on Yom Tov and on Shabbos when you can prepare it before Yom Tov and before Shabbos?
Well, because there are certain things for preparing food. In general, we say that malachas, and part of the question really comes down to, is there b'chlal a malacha over here? Making melilos is not necessarily a malacha. So the question really boils down to, is it something that's also daraisa or not? If it's also daraisa, then obviously you can't do it on Shabbos or the shinui. So that opinion is why I would say that it's also on Shabbos, and therefore would say on Yom Tov, Fine, melechas eichel nefesh, you're allowed to do it, but you'd have to do it with a shinui. As we have other examples of that, of things that even if you're allowed to do them on Yom Tov, you have to do them with a shinui. As opposed to, if we say it's not a melacha to begin with, then even on Shabbos, you're allowed to do it with a shinui. And then on Yom Tov, it would be completely mutter, because then the chachamim are not going to be gozer on it at all.
But the poskim disagree on whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Essentially, the machlokas comes down to whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, yeah. Okay, so let's go on. So now the question is like this. So you're telling me, Rava, that you're allowed to do melilis on Yom Tov. You're allowed to actually roll it between your fingers on Yom Tov. And you're telling me that even the Braisa mentions Erev Yom Tov, it's not really implying that you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. It's just to be parallel with the first part. Now let's consider. When does grain become chayev in truma? Only when you reach the point of gmar melacha. When you completed the processing of that grain. Now, normally, what are you doing with grain? You're going to be using it to make flour and eventually to make bread out of it. So what you do is you go through all the processes, all the malachas over there, dosh, zoda, butter, etc., and eventually you make a pile of it and you do miruach, you smooth out the sides of the pile, and at that point it's considered gmar malacha. Now it's chayev and truma and meiser. But over here, if you're planning to eat these wheat kernels as melilis, you're just going to roll them between your fingers to break the inner shell, and then, as we said, you're then going to blow away those pieces of shell and have clean grain. At that point is when they become chayev in truma and maaser. Now it comes out then. So how are you going to eat them on Yom Tov without taking truma and maaser? Necessarily, therefore, matzinu truma shazakei b'haramasa. It comes out that there's a certain case where you are in fact allowed to eat truma, where you are allowed to take truma on Yom Tov, because otherwise, what would be the point of being allowed to make the melilis and then blow away the shells, etc., on Yom Tov if you couldn't eat it anyway because it's tevel? Obviously, the implication is you can take truma on Yom Tov. Utsnan, but we said in the Mishnah that Beshamai and Bissil both agreed that loyim amartim betruma she'en ezaka b'haramasa, that truma you never have the opportunity of taking on Yom Tov. And therefore, Bissil said that we can agree you can't take that to the Kohen. The question is only about challah and matonis. So if you say, like Abaya wants to argue, that you can't do the actual moilal process on Yom Tov, well then fine, that explains. You had to do it on Erev Yom Tov, that's when you take Truma. But according to Rava, how does the Mishnah fit? The answer is, like Kasha HaRebi HaRab Yosi Beb Yehuda. The difference is that you have two different opinions of Tanoim on that, namely Rebi versus Rab Yosi Beb Yehuda. Would you be taking Truma from the Lilis? If a person brought in stalks of grain into his house, where he plans to make them into dough, so he's going to go through the whole regular process up to and including miruach, which is when it's going to become chayiv and truma and meiser. Oichel mehen arayu potter. So up until that point, till miruach, he's allowed to eat a snack from it, and that snack is potter for his potter from truma and meiser. The Molon b'melilis, on the other hand, if he brings them in a little bit where he plans to make melilis out of them, Rebbe Mechayev Rabbi Yosi Beb Yehuda Poiter. So Rebbe is going to say that bringing them in, according to Rebbe, bringing them in while they're still in the stalks is already the Gemar Malacha. Because when do they become Chayev in Truma and Meiser? When they come into the garden, into the storage area. At this point, for ones that you're going to make melilis out of, this is the storage area. Rabbi Yosi Beb Yehuda Poter, Rabbi Yosi Beb Yehuda says it's Poter, because after all, it has to be Degoncha. So there has to be Miruach, where you have them in a pile. Here, you're not making a pile of them. You're not. So according to him, they never become Chayev in. So according to him, they never become Chayev in Truma and Meiser. So according to Rabbi Yosi Beb Yehuda, no problem. So you'd be able to make melilis on Yom Tov. There's no problem that implies that you're taking truma and meiser, because according to him, you don't have to take truma and meiser.
And Isa,
yeah.
How is he going to do that? Now, doesn't he have to take on the shell?
That's what I mean. In other words, we mean lassus man isa means he's going to go through the whole process. He's going to go through the dosh and burr and zerda and all the rest of those malachas. So Rashi says kol's man shall a dosh and a mirchan bakri, as long as he didn't do the disha and all the processes that lead up to miruach, then lo nigma malach and the truma, and therefore he's allowed to take any individual one of them and make melilas out of it and eat it.
Now, what is the moilil and memelilis?
That means to begin with, he brought them in, the moilil and memelilis. Rashi says, echnisen lo'oichlan ma'at ma'at ayudei memelilis. He brought them in only a little bit at a time.
But he brought in
to make it. No. When he brought in the shibolim lasses man isa, meant he brought them in, he brought in a large amount at a time. He brought them in as shibolim, but he brought them in a large enough quantity where he plans to, inside his house, he's going to do dosh and zora and so on and so forth, and make a kree, make a pile out of it, and do miruach. He's not planning to eat it right away. But then, after he brought it in, he decides, you know what, let me take one or two of them and make melilas out of them. Sort of, yeah. It's like you roll it between your fingers.
You can't even get full from that.
Well, there is that, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, Rashi, by the way, goes on to explain then that what it means is, in other words, so when we say according to Rebbe, it would come out that in fact there would be a case where you're able to take truma on Yom Tov, because since according to him melilus, apparently everybody agrees that you're allowed to make melilus on Yom Tov, but according to Rebbe, you brought them in to begin with, the molel and the melilus, and Rebbe's going to say they're chayiv in truma. So there you have a case. Actually, there you have an exceptional case where you can take truma on Yom Tov. Whereas our Mishnah that says that we don't have such a thing would be according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda. Tosafos has a couple of questions on that, and they end up explaining kind of the other way around. When we say that you're able to take truma would be according to Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda. He holds that bringing them in does not yet make them chayev. So therefore, when do they become chayev? When you actually make melilas of them. That's the gemar malacha. When you actually roll them between your fingers and remove the shells. So then at that point, then you'd be able to take truma from the manyantas. When you say in the Mishnah that you can't take truma, would be according to Rebbe, because according to Rebbe, only when you bring them in is already when they became chayev in truma, and when you brought them in, but pashtos was before yomtov. So therefore, or at least you should have done that. There's no reason you should bring them in on Yom Tov and then make them chayiv in Truma. According to Rebbe, you can just as well bring them in before Yom Tov and then take Truma then. So that's how Tosfos learns. Okay. So the question is, Ulo Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda nami mashkachas la. Even according to Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda, you would be able to have a case where you're taking Truma on Yom Tov. According to Tosfos' girsa, rather the girsa should be Ulo Rebbe mashkachas la. Suppose that the person brought in before Yom Tov, he brought in these stalks of grain intending to make dough out of them, intending to process them in the usual way. Then on Yom Tov itself, he decided to make melilas out of them. So now, the tivla b'yome. Now, on that day itself, it becomes tevel. Because like this, up until now, it would have been, the plan was that this whole pile of grain is eventually going to become chayiv and truma and meiser only when he does miruach. But now he changed his mind and decided to use the entire pile for melilas, let's say. Now on Yom Tov itself, it becomes tevel. So even according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, or according to Tosfos, according to Rebbe, it would now be chayiv for the first time in truma and meiser on Yom Tov. And the pashtos, you should be able to take the truma then in order to be able to eat it. Ela, my truma, roiv truma. You're right then. So no reason to say after all that the Mishnah is only according to one Tana. When the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to take Truma on Yom Tov, I mean most cases of Truma, that usually Truma is accomplished only after Miruach, and that you don't have on Yom Tov. You're right, the Mishnah is not implying as a blanket statement that it never happens that you can be taking Truma on Yom Tov. So now let's get into this whole matter a little deeper. This whole machlokas of Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda about when grain and kidneys and other things like that become chayiv and meiser. Amarabai machloikus b'shibolin. The whole machloikus is where Rabbi Yossi is patterning it from truma is only if he brought in stalks of grain. Stalks of grain, for the most part, you don't eat as melilis. You don't take individual grains of it and roll them around between your fingers and eat them that way. Most of them you make into a pile, and you do miruach, and eventually you make flour and you make bread out of them. Aval b'kitnius, but when it comes to kitnius, many people, only Rashi explains, many people don't bother processing all the kitnius together. They may decide, I'm making a pot of food right now. I'm making a cholent. I need a few beans for it. So therefore, I'll go now and I'll process a few beans for that purpose. So just bringing them in already in bundles. So everybody would agree that when they're in bundles already, that makes them tevel, because not everybody bothers unbundling them and processing all of them together. So the most is lema masayale. Well, can we say then that the following Mishnah from Truma supports what Abaye is saying? The Mishnah describes mishahoyle chavile tilton shel tevel. A person has bundles of tilton of tevel. Tilton is a plant. In English, it's called fenugreek. It's also in Yemenite cooking. They use it a lot, and they call it chilba. It's got a pungent flavor to it. It's a sharp, spicy flavor, and they use it in cookery. The seeds of it are sort of triangular shaped, which is why it's called tilton, from the word plus. Yeah. What? In English, it's called fenugreek. Yeah. It's a plant. So they use it for spices. A lot of times they use it, and a lot of times the Gemara seems to say they use it for animal food. But it can also be used. It can also be used for human food, and like we're saying, they use it as a spice in some cuisines. Anyway, so a person has bundles of tilton of tevel. Now those are also similar to the mustard seeds in that they come in pods, and the pods are not edible. How is a kosish? So what he can do is he can crush them, because crushing them is the normal way of doing disha for them. You crush the pods or the stalks or whatever, and then you get the seeds out of them. He figures out how much seed there is in these pods. And then when he takes truma and nicer, is only on the seeds, not on the wood. Now the tilton is one of those plants where tam eitzer piri shava. The wood or stalks or whatever has the same flavor as the seeds. Nevertheless, the chachamim were not machayev it in maaser. In particular, we've talked about before which things are chayev in truma and maaser d'oraisa and which aren't. Everybody agrees that vegetables are chayev only d'rabbanan. So when it comes to tilton, even though the wood, the stalks of it in principle are edible and they could be used to flavor food just as much as the tilton seeds themselves, nevertheless, the chachamim were not machayev him to take truma and maaser from it. It's only from the seeds. The reason why we say, by the way, why machashev, which implies that you're only estimating how much seeds, that we'll talk about on Amud Beis, why he doesn't calculate exactly. We'll get back to that. Anyway, my love, Rabbi Yosi ben Yehudah. On the face of it, let's assume that this braisa is according to Rabbi Yosi ben Yehudah. So he would say exactly that when it comes to grain, you're bringing it in, planning to make melilis and eat it only a little bit at a time, then it would be mutter. But on the other hand, with tilton, where the normal way of doing is only a little at a time, because you don't need that much tilton for a pot of food, then he'd be mechayev. The answer is like, not necessarily Rebbe. That braisa could be according to Rebbe, and then it's no proof for what. Then there's no proof for what Abaye is saying, that everybody would agree by kitnius that while they're in bundles, they're already tevel, because maybe only Rebbe would hold that way. Maybe Rabbi Yosi ben Yehudah would say no. Question is, he my area tilton, I feel she bought him nami. Nu, and according to Rebbe, why bother mentioning the case of tilton? You could say the same thing about stalks of grain, because we said according to Rebbe, you bring in stalks of grain, even though, again, let's remember, stalks of grain are not like tilton. You usually process them in much larger quantities at a time and do miruach. And still Rebbe is saying it's chayev. So it should have mentioned shibolim. According to Rebbe, that would be the greater chinush. Ella, my so my answer is back. Ella, my Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda knew. And so, what are you going to tell me? You're arguing that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and you want to say that it proves a bias point. New, you can still say Lashem in and Shamina kitnius for Kol Shekhen Tilton. So why not mention other kinds of kitnius? Even though many people do make a pile on Dumiruach with other kinds of kitnius. And then you would say, but Choshek and Tilton, how much more so Tilton, where you only put it a little bit at a time, and sometimes you don't even bother processing it. Sometimes you just take a stalk of Tilton with the seeds inside and put it in the pot. So even according to the B.A.C. Rabbi Yehuda, why would it mention that? Why would it focus Davka on Tilton? Yeah, no, Ella Tilton it's Tzvichalei. The answer is that no, we can answer that actually, in fact, there is a reason to mention Tilton, even if we say the Mishnah goes according to Rebbe. There would still be a reason to focus on Tilton. Safkadai Dechamini, you would think, Hoyovatam Eitzeh Piryashava. Again, we said the flavor of the stalks is exactly the same as that of the seeds. Lifrish Namiya Eitzeh, you would think that you should have to take on behalf of the wood as well. Kamash Malon, therefore, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. So, not necessarily is the Mishnah telling us the Chiddush that while they're in bundles, they're already Tevel. That point is not really the chiddush of the Mishnah. The chiddush is rather the second part, that when you're taking ma'aser from them, you only have to take on behalf of the estimated amount of seeds. So therefore, you could after all say the Mishnah goes just as well according to Rebbe as according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and therefore there's no solid proof from that Mishnah for what Abaye is saying, that they would both agree that kitnius have a different rule than grain. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion goes, Amar Abaye Machloikas Mishibolin. The other way around, the Machloikas, starting the same thing, that Abaye says the Machloikas is by stalks of grain, where Rebbe is saying as soon as you bring them into the house, where you meant them from Melilus, then Rebbe says they're Chayev, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says they're Potter. Abba Kitnius, Divrei HaHakel, said I said Loi Tavla. But when it comes to bundles of Kitnius, then everybody would agree that while they're in bundles, they're not Tavla. Now, that's how Rashi learns that, in other words, the straight meaning of the Gemara, that the Ikadamri is telling us exactly the opposite of the first one. Tosfos has a problem with that. The Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Shimshon Mikotzi, who says you never find that in the Gemara. And Ikka D'Amri doesn't do that. And Ikka D'Amri might modify a little bit what the first Lashon said, but not to turn it completely around. So therefore, Tosfos gets into a discussion about that in the first version you could have, when we say Machlokas B'Shibolin, is you're saying explicitly that I'm bringing them in order to make a pile out of them. Or rather, in order to make melilas out of them. But by Kitnius, where he said that he's going to make melilas out of them, then everybody would agree, says Abaye in the first version, that they would be temple. And actually, it would be even by stam, according to that version. And then in the second version, it would be the machloikas would be when he said stam. But by Kitnius, we would say if he brings them in stam, then they're not temple unless he specified that he plans to make melilas out of them. So that way it's not a complete opposite thing, the second Lashon over the first Lashon. So the Gemara says, Mason, yeah, I have a contradiction then. The Mishnah that we just quoted from Trumas. Mishahu lechabili tilton shal tevel, harid a kosish, he breaks open the shell, the pods, or machashav kamazer yeshbem, figures out how much seed there is in them, or mafish min ala zera v'ene mafish ala eight. My love, tevel, tovel, shal truma. Now we said, chavile tilton shal tevel. The pastures, that means complete tevel, where nothing at all has been taken out of it. So it's tevel as far as truma and meiser and everything, because that's the order, as we're going to say soon. The order is supposed to be truma, then meiserishin, etc. So it implies, in other words, that even while they're in the bundles, they're tevel. So what are you telling me on the second Lashon that Abaye is saying everybody would agree that bundles of kitnius are not considered tevel? The Mishnah is calling them tevel. The answer is loy tevel tovel shal trumas meiser. The answer is no. They could be tevel insofar, not as far as the Yisrael, but insofar as the Levi. Now you can have a case which we're going to discuss now. What happens is usually when we said that various kinds of produce become chayiv and truma and meiser only by gemar malacha, in the case of grain by miruach, and in the case of each other thing when it reaches its own stage. Now, though, and then at that point is when the farmer goes and takes out truma and gives it to the kohen and takes out ma'aserishin and gives it to the levi and so forth. What happens if the levi comes ahead of time while it's still in stalks, before the miruach or whatever gemar malacha has been completed yet? Let's say he took his miser at that point. So that's the case we're talking about over here. He went and took some bundles of tilton as his miser before the processing of them was completed. Now it's tevel as far as him, because he needs to, they're already called miser. He can't eat them until he takes that trumas miser and gives it to the kohen. Relative to him then, those are tevel. The rest of the bundles that the Yisrael keeps, those are not tevel yet, we could assume, according to Abaye's second lashon, because they're still in bundles. But the Levi, because he already took it as miser, therefore that itself is keveyeh, where now he can't eat it until he takes trumas miser out of it. This would be like what Rabbi Bahu explains in the name of Rish Lakish. If you took Maiserishin early in while it was still in the stalks, or and the same thing with the kidneys, it would be while they're still in their pods. Shmoi Toivle with Trumas Maiser. Just the fact that it was given the name Maiser, that already makes it Tevel, and it makes it also to eat a snack from it, and it would have all the dinim of Tevel, including that a person is Chayiv Misa for eating it until he takes Trumas Maiser from it, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain on Omid Beis. Okay, so that would be the case. In other words, so not necessarily does that Mishnah imply that in general bundles of kidneys are still considered, such as tilton, are considered tevel. We're talking about only as far as the Levi who went and took his maaserishin early, whereas he should have waited until the proper time. Okay, so now in that case, koisish lamali. So in that case, now the Mishnah had used the expression koisish, that he breaks open the shells and then he figures out how much seeds there are in there and gives trumas maaser. Well, koisish lamali. Why should he have to break them open? Why does he have to do the processing of it before he gives the koyin his trumas maaser? Let him tell the Kohen, the same state that I got him in, the same state I'm giving it to you in. I got them b'shibolim. You can also get them b'shibolim. Why do I have to clean it and give you clean grain or clean kidneys? The answer is Omar Rabba Knossa. Rabba says it's a knas. And by the way, Rashi also adds the point that the whole might, as we said before, the whole concept of truma and maaser of tilton is only derabanan. Daraisa, there's no such thing as maaser and truma and maaser of vegetables. But on a daraisa level, he would only on a daraisa level, truma and maaser is dogon. It's only completed grain. The chachamim, when they make the takana of doing the same thing for vegetables, are going to model it on the one daraisa called the takun rabanan kain daraisa takun. So why would they be requiring to make dogon out of it? In order to give Meiser. And the answer is Omar Rabba Knossa. It's a knas because Rashi says he caused the farmer to be over on the, and there's a loisa, say in the Torah, Meleas Chavadima Chaloisa Acher, which means that you're not allowed to give your matones from your produce out of order. The order has to be Bikurim, then Truma, then Meiserishin, then Meiser Sheni or Oni. Like this, he gave Maaserishin before Truma, so therefore the Levi caused the Yisrael to be over on that, therefore we cancel him. Other Rishonim give a different point also, the Rambam mentions it, for example. Another point which we're going to take up again on Amud Beis, another reason to cancel the Levi is because he's now causing the Koyan to get less Truma. If we calculate it like this, Truma would be given out of, normally the Truma would be given out of the whole thing before the Levi takes his part. So that, and Truma is usually, let's say, Beinonis is Echad Mechamishim, is one, the average person gives 1/50, 2%. So let's say, so if we did like that, the Kohen would be getting 2% from the farmer, and then he'd be getting a little less than 1% from the Levi, because the Levi would be getting a little bit less than 10%, and he gives 1/10 of that to the Kohen. So the Kohen would wind up with just under 3 units of 3 pounds or 3 bushels or whatever it is of grain, let's say. Now instead the Levi comes and takes Maaserishin first. Now we recalculate. Now the Yisrael is giving the Kohen not 2, he's giving him only out of 90, he's giving him only 50, only 1/50th out of 90, which is 1.8. The Levi is giving him a little bit extra because the Maaser Sheni, the Trumas Maaser is going to end up being a little larger, but still you wind up, if you calculate it out, you still wind up that the Kohen is getting less than he otherwise. So it comes out that the Kohen is getting about 0.18. I think I once calculated, he gets like 0.18 less than he otherwise would. Like this, he would normally get 0.98, and like this is getting 0.82, I think, or something like that. I forget the exact cheshbon, but whatever it is, the point is he ends up getting less than he otherwise would.
Oh, he gets 0.18 instead of,
yeah, whatever. 2. Yeah, then he gets 1.8 from the larger crop, and he gets right.
He's about 0.1 less.
Yeah, that, whatever it is, exactly. Whatever. So that's another way of looking why we cancel the levy is because he calls that the kohen is now getting less truma and trumas meiser than he otherwise would. Yeah.
It's interesting that this shows that they were very accurate and measuring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because otherwise, they would just say, "Who cares?" Because
right. So actually, so we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara. Truma has to be truma is taken me'oimid. You don't measure the crop exactly and then give you 1/50th or 1/40th or 1/60th or whatever. You estimate it and then give. We're going to bring on Ahmed Bey's an opinion that says that the same thing is true of Trumas Meiser. You know, Trumas Meiser, the Torah specifies the fraction. It says 1/10. Unlike Truma, where it doesn't specify it beferush, and we learn it from Pesukim in Yechezkel, and Minatoda Chita Achas is enough. But nevertheless, we're going to learn on Amud Beis, we're going to learn an opinion that says that Truma Smaisa also is Me'oimed. But yeah, I guess the point is, like you're saying, people, the farmer was expert enough to be able to estimate and get a pretty accurate result. Yeah.
At least they
agree that. Right. Okay. Maybe it could be, though, that because of that point is maybe why Rashi didn't want to focus on that aspect of it and wanted to focus on the Maleach of the Dimacha, because that unequivocally you're causing the difference as far as how much the Kohen is getting. You're right. If the farmer doesn't know how to estimate exactly, then not necessarily is the Kohen losing out.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a Braisa. Ben Levi Shenosna Lo Shibolim Masrei. So if a Ben Levi was given stalks of grain as his meiser, then before he gives the trumas meiser to the kohen, he has to make a gurdon of them, meaning, in other words, that he has to go and do the whole process up to it, including miruach, and give the kohen clean grain. Similarly, on novim, if he gets grapes as his meiserishin, and he should have waited until the grapes were turned into wine, assuming, of course, that these are grapes that were meant to be turned into wine. We're not talking about where the farmer grew them intending to be table grapes. Yeah. So oiso isim yayin, so he has to make them into wine before he gives the wine to the kohen. Zesim oiso isim shemen, if he got olives, he has to make them into oil. Umafash alayin trumas meiser, v'noistam l'kohen, then he separates out trumas meiser and gives it to the kohen. Shekashem, shetruma g'dola, enin tell us. Elamin, I gurdon, I mean, I yekiv, the same way as regular truma is given only from gurdon and yekiv, only from produce that's already bitten, that's already had, my malacha done, kach, trumas meiser, and you tell us elamin, I gurdon, umin, I yekiv. The same thing with trumas meiser. So therefore, in other words, the normal way would be that the owner himself, the farmer himself, does the whole processing, does gmar malacha, does miruach, makes the wine, makes the oil, and then calls in the kohen and the levi to get their portion. Here, the levi went and grabbed his ahead of time. Therefore, as Rava is saying, we cancel him to do the gmar malacha himself and give it to the kohen that way. The threshing floor where you thresh it and winnow it and do all those malachas, and then you wind up having a pile which you do miruach on. Yeah. A yekiv is a vat where you squeeze out the grapes to produce grape juice, which then ferments and becomes wine. Yeah.
And so in the vat,
that's gemar malacha, is when it's been turned into grape juice is gemar malacha. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's get back to the Braisa we said on Amud Aleph. So again, the Mishnah, actually, what we were talking about, this case with Tilton. So we said that you have these bundles of Tilton, and we said, Kosish, you break open the shells, but now we understand, we're talking about a Levi, that we can't say him to do that, and we said, Mechashiv, he figures out how much seeds there are in there, and then gives Truma some Isa based on that. So the Gemara asked, what do you mean, Mechashiv? Hamadidah boy, you need to measure it. Because if the Mishnah was talking about the Yisrael, then yeah, Truma Gdola, like we just said, is taken by an estimate. So then, Mechashiv, you calculate approximately how much seeds of Tilton there are in there, and that's how much you take. But once it comes to Trumas Meiser, the Torah Befedrish tells us it's 1/10. So therefore, so you have to measure it exactly. The answer is, Homani Abba Elazar ben Gimel. The answer is that this Mishnah is according to the opinion of Abba Elazar ben Gimel. In other places, the Gemara calls him Abba Elazar ben Gimel or Ben Gamliel or whatever. Anyway, yeah. So the Tanya, Abba Elazar ben Gimel, the Pasuk says, when probably Gimel is a nickname for Gamliel. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, he says the Pasuk says when Hashem tells Moshe to tell Aaron and Levium about the dinim of Truma and Meiser, and in particular to tell the Levium that you're going to be receiving Meiser Rishon from the Yisraelim, you now have to turn around and give Trumas Meiser to the Kohenim. So he uses the expression v'nechshav lachem trumaschem. Your Truma will be considered for you. So that means, he says, b'shtei Trumas hakosav medaber. The Pasuk is mentioning in that, the Pasuk is implying in that Pasuk two kinds of Turumas. Because it actually says, the Pasuk continues, it'll be like the grain from the Gerdon and like the wine from the Yekiv. So Kadogan min ha-Gerdon and Turumaschem refer to two different kinds of Turumas, says Abba Elazar. So that means the Pasuk is making a hekesh between them. Kishem shetruma gdola nitelus ba'omer of machshava, just like truma gdola is taken by estimate, because again the Torah doesn't mention a shear for it, and you don't measure it exactly, you estimate and then you give truma appropriately, and over machshava, you don't need to actually say this is truma. It's enough, for example, to look at the pile of grain and say, I'm thinking that this side of it is going to be truma, and that's and so forth. The same way, kach trumas ma'aser nitelus ba'omer of machshava. The same way, Abba Elazar says the same thing applies to ma'aser rishon. To trumas ma'aser, that also it's taken ba'omer. You don't measure and then give exactly 1/10. You estimate and then you give 1/10 based on that. So that Mishnah that says that you estimate the amount of seeds in the tilton pods would be according to Abba Elazar. You're right. According to the Chachamim, you'd actually have to take, and after you take out the seeds, you'd actually have to measure exactly. Gufa. Getting back to something that we said before, Amrav Abahu, Amrav Shimon Lakish, Ma'aserishin she'ekdimi b'shibaldin. We said that if you took Ma'aserishin early while it was still in the stalks, Shmoy Tovle the Trumas Ma'aser. The name Ma'aser itself already makes a tevel, and now the Levi is not even allowed to eat a snack from it until they take Trumas Ma'aser. The Gemara says, my timer. What is the fact that it was called Ma'aser? What does that have to do with anything? Because it already has the name Ma'aser, which means, in other words, that the Pasuk says that the Levim have to take Ma'aser and a Ma'aser. So as soon as it's called Ma'aser, then already the Chiyuv of Ma'aser and a Ma'aser, meaning Trumas Ma'aser, is Chal on it. The Rashba actually wonders, I mean, what exactly is Rava adding to what Rav Abahu said? I mean, effectively, it sounds like the same thing. Anyway, but that's the point. In other words, that maybe what it is Rava is explaining why is calling it Ma'aser so choshuv that it should make it, and now you can't eat from a snack anymore, is because since the Torah says Ma'aser min ha-Ma'aser. B'chlal, there's a number of different things. You have in Mishnayos and in Masechta Ma'aseris, it goes through extensively. There's like six different things that make it that produce is now kavua as far as Ma'aser, and you can't eat achilas arai from it anymore. But even before Gemar Malacha. For example, if Shabbos comes, another one is over here, you took Ma'aser from it, you salted it, you sold it, there's like six different things, yeah. Another din, Amud of Shimon Lakish, related to what we said, Ma'aser Rishon she'ekdimi b'shibalim, if you gave Ma'aser Rishon while the grain was still in the stalks, before Miruach, potter mit Truma G'dola, that Ma'aser Rishon is potter from having Truma G'dola taken out. So in other words, again, the Levi still has to give Trumas Ma'aser, but he gives only Trumas Ma'aser. He doesn't have to give his proportion of Truma G'dola from it. So again, like we said before, Truma G'dola is usually the average is 1/50. So like this, in other words, the normal situation is the farmer gives 1/50 out of a whole 100. So he's giving 2. If instead the Levi came and took his 10, we don't say that now the Levi should have to give 0.2 to the Kohen plus whatever he has to give plus the amount that he gives for Trumas Ma'aser. No, he only gives the amount for Trumas Ma'aser, the point one. Shenem of Harim Moisim Menet Trumas Hashem, Ma'aser Menet Ma'aser. Because the Pasuk says you should take him with the Trumas Hashem, Ma'aser from Ma'aser, implying Ma'aser Menet Ma'aser, Ma'aser Menet Ma'aser, like Trumas Gdolo, Trumas Ma'aser Menet Ma'aser. So you don't have to take both from it. We've had this, by the way, a number of times before, because there's a number of places that we've had so far on the side of it here. It's referred to in Shabbos and in Eruvin and Psochim. So we've had it a number of times in Moed already, and actually this point is also brief. I don't know why it doesn't mention over here, but it's also mentioned in Brachas, in connection with, you have a mission over there that says that what kind of food you're allowed to make a mezuman for, and it mentions over there Ma'aserish and Shnitzel Trumasai, and the Gemara mentions the same point over there. Anyway, so if you took Ma'aserish, and again, so it's potter from Trumagdor, Armalera Papalabaya. But Rapapa asked Abaya, in that case, then in that case, if you're saying that the Pasuk is saying Maisim and Amaisir, implying that you don't have to take Truma Gola from it, why don't we apply the same thing if the Levi took his Maisirishin after it was already in the Kri, after the pile and Miruah, after the pile and Miruah was done, if then he took his Maisirishin, then we should also say he's Pasuk from taking Truma Gola from his part. So Abaya answers him, Alecha Omakra, to answer what you're thinking is why the pasuk continues, Mikol Masri Seichem, actually it says on the side, Tarimu, from all of your gifts, Hashem tells the Levim, you should take out Truma for the Kohanim. Tarimu es kol Truma Hashem, all the Truma of Hashem, which implies that there's a case where the Levi has to take all the Trumas, both Truma Gdola and Truma Smaisa. So the Gemara asks, Mara Isa. So what makes you say, so in other words, okay, fine. So we have a meal that the Levi only has to give Truma Smaiser. We have a ribui that he has to give Truma and Truma Smaiser. Abaya is telling us, Rish Lakish is telling us actually, the case where he's potter is where it was b'shibolim, and the case where he's chayev is when it was b'kri, when the pile and miruach was already done. Umara Isa, what makes you see to understand it that way? Maybe it should be the other way around. The answer is logical. Hai idgan, b'hai lo idgan. When it's already made into a kri, it's already become dagon. The definition of dagon is clean, processed grain. So therefore, at that point, more logical to say that therefore now already the chiyuv of truma for the kohen is already chal on it. So therefore, it makes more sense that we have to have the kohen has to get everything that's coming to him that would have been coming to him out of that pile. And if that means the Levi went and took his part first, then we're going to have to take out a part from the Levi's to compensate for that. As opposed to when he took it b'shibolim, that wasn't even chayev in truma for the kohen yet. So therefore, it's more logical that we're going to pater the Levi from it for the future. Is referring to when so the pasuk Mikol Matnaseichem, both of them are referring to when the Levi took it early, but one is talking about when he took it early while it was b'shibolim, while it was still in stalks before it was even processed, and the other one is talking about when he took it after miruach. So when he took it before miruach, we're saying he doesn't have to give truma from his portion, only truma smaiser. When he takes it after miruach, we make him give both his portion of truma and his truma smaiser out of it. Tosfos says, what is the Gemara even thinking that with the question Mara Isa? Of course, it's logical to say that there's going to be a big difference between Shibolim and Kri, that you should say Shibolim, there's more reason to pater him. So Tosfos says, okay, you're right. Mara Isa doesn't mean that you should think to flip it around, but how do you know? Maybe there's a different distinction. Maybe both of them are talking about when it's in the Kri. One is before it was brought to Pnei Habayis, before it was brought to the front of the house, which is only when it becomes Chayiv in Truma and Maaser Jarayis, and the other was when it was afterwards. So therefore, in other words, so there wouldn't be a difference in Shibolim and Kri, there'd be a different distinction. There are other Rishonim talk about different possibilities that maybe there would be logical reasons, after all, to think the other way around. One of them is, I think the Rosh explains, let's say when the Levi took it for Shibolim, he knows obviously the Kohen hasn't taken his Truma yet, because you don't take Truma at that point yet. Therefore, maybe Fakir, we're thinking we should maybe cancel him and then force him to give the Truma as well. Whereas if he took it after Miruach, he could think to himself, I don't know if the Kohen, for all I know, the Kohen took it already. Nevertheless, the Gemara is saying that no, the fact that one is Dagon and one is not outweighs that consideration. And therefore, that when it's Dagon is when we're requiring him to give Truma. When it's not Dagon yet, when it's still in stalks, then we're pattering him from Truma. That's the point. After Miruach is processed, where before Miruach is unprocessed, right? Getting back now to the matter of peeling grain and making melilis. Tananha, so we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Maestris, Hamakalip Sa'ur, and if a person is peeling barley, because he wants to eat it, he's going to eat the barley raw, so he peels off this inner shell. Makalif achas achas va'ichol, he can peel them one at a time and eat them, and he's potter from Maestro, because that's an example of Achilas Arai. This is talking about, in other words, that Rashi says this is before Miruach. So, yeah. But if he peeled a bunch of them and put them in his hand, then already that's enough of a kvius to make him chayev and meiser, and then he can't eat from them before he takes truma and meiser. But Rabbi Loza v'chayim l'shabbos. So Rabbi Bohu says you should know the same din as far as Shabbos, that if he does them one at a time, then it's considered kilachal yad, and then he's allowed to do it on Shabbos. Whereas if he does a bunch of them together, then it would be a malacha of dosh. So yeah, Tospis explains over here that we're talking about over here after all that the outer shell of the barley was already removed before Shabbos. Here we're just talking about this. This inner shell. So that's why we're saying that it's mutter to do it one at a time. If they were still in their hard outer shell, you couldn't do it one at a time either, because that would be the malacha of dosh. Because then you're removing something from its natural container. And I guess the difference is also that the inner shell in principle is edible. The outer shell is completely inedible. This is very negeya when we talk about, for example, eating nuts or beans or whatever on Shabbos, as far as the whole issue of when you're allowed to shell them and when you're not. The Alter Rebbe mentions in Hilchos Rabbis of the Shabbos in the Siddur, he says that you have to be careful about eating peas and beans and things that come. Now, if the pod is edible, like you have, let's say, green beans, then you don't have a problem. The pod is just as edible, and some people like to open them up because they like to eat the seeds separately. Fine, there's no problem with that. But it's both oichel. But let's say you have some kinds of beans that come in pods that are inedible, or for example, you have peanuts and other things like that, peanuts, walnuts, or whatever. So there are some issues with that. You also have, now you are allowed to crack nuts on Shabbos. We talked about that the other day. The Alter Rebbe goes on to say you have other issues with it, though, among others, that if you have a piece of problems of burr, right? If afterwards you have the shells and the nut meats are mixed together, then you have a problem of burr, plus you also have a problem of muktzah with the shells. So yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Eini, is that so that if you peel a bunch of them together, then it's also on Shabbos? But Rav Makalpalu Dvesu Kasi, Rav's wife would peel for him cupfuls of barley to eat on Shabbos. But Rabchia Makalpalu Dvesu Kasi, and Rabchia's wife also would peel for him cupfuls of barley on Shabbos. Now, Eli Itmara Sefer, you're right. The statement of Rabbi Lozer, Vachem Shabbos, is actually referring to the Sefer of that same Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, Hamolo melilis chokhetim, which quoted before, Hamolo melilis chokhetim, a person is making melilis of wheat, so he's taking wheat kernels and rolling them around between his fingers to crush the inner layer. Minapech al yad al yad v'echol, so he blows on them a little bit at a time, and we said before, actually, mi yad li yad, he pours them from one hand to another and blows on them while he's doing that, to blow away the shells, v'echol, and then he can eat it. V'nipach v'nosan, let's say cheke, but if he blows on a whole bunch of them and puts them into the folds of his garment, like to gather a bunch at a time, chayev, then he'd be chayev and meiser, omer of laws of achem l'shabbos. That's weird. Rabbi Lozer is saying that the same thing as far as Shabbos, that if he does a bunch of it together and puts it in his cheko, in the hem of his garment, to gather a bunch of it together, then it would be, then he'd be chayev, because then he's not doing it for immediate use, then it means he's saving it for later. So to eat it right away would be mutter, but to save it for later would not. So you're telling me then that Rabbi Lazar's statement of Bechem L'Shabbos is only referring to the Sefer, which means that you're implying that in the Reisha, this Mekalef Achas Achas V'Oichel, that you would be allowed to peel a bunch at a time on Shabbos. But Shabbos Loi, so you're telling me it wouldn't apply for Shabbos? Umi ikam midi del inyan Shabbos Loi have a gmar malacha, ul ma'isa have a gmar malacha. Since when do you find something that as far as Shabbos is not considered a gemar malacha, but as far as meiser it is, why should peeling a bunch of them together be considered gemar malacha for meiser and yet be mutter and not be a malacha on Shabbos? Shouldn't they taka be interdependent? Maskefler of Sheshes Bredir of Idi, which in turn of Sheshes Bredir of Idi asks back, Beloy, why not? I can give you other examples. Vahagon and the meiser, consider the malachas that make that produce is now chayiv and meiser. This is their gur, and this is the completion of the processing of them, and now they become chayiv and meiser. Yitnan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah, also a Mishnah in Meisters, Ezo Gon and Lamaiser, what is the gur and what's the completion of processing for various kinds of vegetables as far as meiser? Hakishuin Vadluin, cucumbers and pumpkins, Nishi Faksu, when you take off the picus, which is the flower that grows on the top of them. These fruits, pumpkins and cucumbers, are basically, they are fruits. So we think of them as vegetables, but botanically they're fruits. All fruits grow from a flower. So when they finish growing, you have a flower left at the top. So you take off the flower, that's the Gemar Malacha. If you're not taking off the flower, if you plan to just store them that way with the flower still attached, then they become chayiv and meiser once you make a pile of them. Also, the Mishnah mentions over there, as far as onions, they become chayv and maaser when you make a pile of them. And yet you're allowed to make piles of produce on Shabbos. So we see that not everything that's gemar malacha for maaser is automatically a malacha for Shabbos. So what makes it so hard to understand then, says Rav Sheshes Breder of Idi, that the same thing, then you could say that you could be peeling a bunch of barley grains and on Shabbos, and yet for maaser it would be gemar malacha. So what are you going to answer? Malachas machsheves, also Torah. Obviously, when it comes to Shabbos, the Torah is only asking malachas machsheves, something that takes a little bit of skill to do, and making a pile is not considered a skill. So hochanami, malachas machsheves, also Torah. The same thing you can say over here, peeling barley is not considered a malachas machsheves. There's no malacha involved in it. There's no machsheves involved in it. Therefore, it's not a malacha, but maaser would have different rules. Now, Kate said Merlil. Now, getting back to the original topic of the Sugya, which was making Melilis on Yom Tov. So how do you do Merlil on Yom Tov? Now, we said that there are Rishonim who learned that on Shabbos you do it with a Shinui, and on Yom Tov you do it without. And there were others who said on Shabbos you can't do it, and on Yom Tov you have to do it with a Shinui. The question is, which one is our Gemara referring to? It just says Kate said Merlil. So which one is it referring to Shabbos or Yom Tov? Those are the two different opinions. So, Abaya Mishmeid Rabbi Yosef, I'm a Chada Achada. You can do it only one finger against one finger, like your thumb against your index finger. That would be the Shinu. Rabbi Ivya says also in the name of Rabbi Yosef, one finger on two. So your thumb on your index and middle fingers. That would still be enough of a Shinu. Rabba, I'm a kibin the mishani. Rabba says, no, you don't need that. Once you're making a shinui, I feel a choda kulunami. You could even do one finger on all the fingers, and that's enough to be considered a shinui. The normal way, the pashtus would be that you're going to roll them using a roller or something. You're not necessarily just roll them between your fingers. Ketzed minapeach. Now we said you can blow on them. You pour them from one hand to the other, and you blow on them to blow away the shells. How do you do that? Only from his knuckles and upward. In other words, he can only put them on his fingers and blow on them over there, not on the whole palm of his hand.
The real way
of Zoda would be to throw it in the air, right? But at least if you're going to be doing this on weekdays or whatever, at least you put them on your whole hand. So here you have to make a shinui and put it only on your fingertips. The Gemara says, "Machaku alabamar rabba." They laughed at this in Eretz Yisrael, which the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us this is specifically the Amora of Yosi ben Chanina laughed at it. Kivin de Mishani, after the Bekula Yodanami. Again, once you're making a shinui, why should you be limited to your fingertips? Do it in your whole hand. Ela Amar Rabba Lazer, "Manapeach the Yodei Achas of a Chol Koyche." You can do it. You just put it in one hand and blow on it with all your strength. But that's still enough of a shinui, because again, normally you would be doing it in a konin or a tamchui or whatever, like we said before, you'd be putting it in a container and shaking it. So like this, you're doing it on your hand, that it's fine to do it even on your whole hand, the palm and the fingers, and blow on it. B'chol koichei, that's enough of a shinui. So again, you have the machlokes, whether this whole thing is talking about Shabbos or Yom Tov, as the case may be. Okay, everyone.